Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Cousins for Christ, where we're just three cousins who like to get together and talk about Christ. Joined by my cousins, Chris.
Hello.
And cousin Jeremy.
Hello. How are y'all doing this week?
Good.
Good.
How are you doing?
Anytime y'all two are around, I'm doing excellent. Wow. Thank you so much.
He gets a look at me. That's nice.
Well, we're going to revisit a topic. We did a podcast on this very topic a few weeks ago. It's on sexual immorality. And while I don't disagree with some of the things I said during that podcast, I didn't feel good about the way that I said them. I think I failed to fully come through with the spirit of love and meekness and humility that we should have as Christians. So we chose to scratch that and more or less just do it over again. So
it's a hard thing, and not just you. You know, you can't take the full weight of that. It's a hard thing when you disagree with something that's there and you're passionate about it. Like, I get it, but it's something we all struggle with to come across with love. You see it in everything that we do today in the society that we live in. We don't come at things with love. No, nobody comes the right way all the time, which is what we all have to work on. I know I don't.
I think we have to. We everything we do should be with the spirit of love.
And you had mentioned something earlier. What were the two greatest commandments? You said something to me about that earlier.
I think it's love, isn't it? Love. And then the second is what?
No, it's love thy God.
Yep.
And then it's love thy neighbor, love you, love yourself.
Exactly. So for all those that think the Bible is full of hate and pushes, they're wrong.
And we're going to set this up too. As we go through this discussion on sexual immorality, we're quoting the Bible to the very best of our knowledge. We're not adding to it. We're not taking away. We're just telling you what Jesus, what God has told us. So don't get upset at us. If you're upset with something we say, you're upset with Jesus.
Jeremy's done a really good job of is the things that we're going to report is the data and the facts back it up.
And one of the things, I came off a little strong the last time we did this because a lot of these things... society has not only tried to normalize these behaviors, but they've also, they've shoved it so far into our faces to where anything short of celebrating sexual debauchery, we're attacked, we're labeled. Those of us who stand up for what the Bible teaches, sometimes I think we're vilified.
And I think this is a really good time to have this podcast, better than it was a few weeks ago when we had done it before, because of everything going on with the United Methodist Church right now, where they're bringing in the LGBTQ and letting them have leadership in the church and be part of the clergy. And so I think that needs to be discussed, and I think it needs to be talked about.
There's no scriptural authority for that.
No, it's not. It's none.
And I think, you know, you got to be careful to not, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but its path leads to death is more or less what we read in Proverbs.
And don't feel like just because we're talking about this topic, there are a lot of classification or specifications for all kinds of sin and being a leader in the church.
Oh, yes.
It's not just, set, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying that. I know Jeremy knows that, but what I'm saying is like, I don't feel like there's times I could be a leader in the church.
Well,
because of how I act.
I literally can't be a leader in a church because I'm not married. And, you know, takes me out. I'd never be an elder because I don't have children. And
same
so
here.
There's, I also face those same dilemmas where I will never be a leader in a church other than just trying to be a good hand and a good servant.
Correct. Same. Well said.
Okay. So again, we're talking about sexual immorality. There's a lot of different a lot of different forms of sexual immorality. We're going to set this up with a few verses here to kind of set the tone. I'll start with 1 Corinthians. We'll read in chapter 6 and verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Chris, you want to get 1 Peter 2:11?
Yes, sir. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of flesh, which wage war against your soul.
So there you have it. Passions of the flesh that now, wage war against your soul.
There are many instances in the Bible where it talks about, like, you know, it's you hear the my body, my choice, all this other stuff that we talk about. However, we are a temple for God. We were made in God's image. our flesh is supposed to be sacred. And when we go out and commit, what did it say? Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexuality, immoral person sin against his own body. Mm-hmm. So we're sinning against ourselves when it comes to this. So that's what they're speaking on.
Yeah, and we're all going to sin.
We do. I've been guilty in the past.
Make sure you know, every once in a while you need a reminder and a refresher just to help lift yourself up and to edify yourself, just to help stay straight and give yourself, you know, a better chance to stay away from temptation.
And there are a lot. Some people who had known me in my past had these things, and they saw, oh, well, Chris is doing a podcast now, or he's trying to. Like, there's no way. I knew Chris when he was then and doing these. Yes, I'm guilty of so much sin, but I'm trying to do better now. I can't let that hold me back. But you have to realize that the things you've done, you can't keep doing them in the future.
Yeah, well, that's my fault on that. A lot of people say Chris is doing a podcast, and I was like, well, Chris is trying to do a podcast.
Trying. At least I'm trying.
You made a point, Chris, about how we're supposed to have our bodies as a sacrifice to God. I'm going to read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That kind of sets the tone for us, too, as we go through here. We're a living sacrifice. We need to do things that are holy and acceptable, that those things are good and acceptable and perfect. And I like where Paul tells us here, not to be transformed, not to be conformed to this world. And you need to do nothing more than turn on the TV, whether it's the TV program you're watching or it's the commercial in between or whatever it might be, but you're going to be slammed with sexual immorality. I challenge you to find a TV show that shows a husband and a wife, a male and a female, who are married. Many times you see adultery, fornication. Now it's become from societal norms to show homosexual encounters on the TV. I've seen shows where there's two men kissing, women kissing, and these ought not to be. As Chris mentioned, as we talk about these different sins of the body, take away sexual immorality and just plug in the word sin. Any sin is an abomination to God. That is something that is distasteful to God. How would you say an abomination? It repulses the Lord. Yes. He does not... it's disgusting to him.
Yeah. Well, we have listed here, I believe that's Galatians 5:19-21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What you just said there to replace sexual immorality, all this other stuff with sin,
these are works of the flesh.
Correct. And it's not just sexual immorality on that.
There's many anger, things there.
Yeah.
Correct. So it's sin.
And let's point this out too. And we've talked about it numerous times on here, that everything past Acts is a teaching for Christians, not non-Christians. It's for Christians how they should live their lives. And they're expected to, so much as where at one point Paul cast someone out of the church in Corinth because they wasn't living right. And what did it do to him? He said, cast him to Satan. Let Satan have him. But what did that do? It helped him repent, reflect on what he was doing is wrong, and give that sin up and come back to the church, and they accepted. So we're not telling you anything, but all this, everything past Acts, so up to Revelations, of course, is on how we should act and try to inspire to be like more like Christ.
How to walk in his footsteps.
Yes.
Let's start with marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexual, excuse me, the sexually immoral and adulterous. Sex between a man and a woman, I believe, it's a gift from God, but it's got to be within the confines of the marriage bond.
Yes.
And we so often, we don't see that. Jeremy?
Well, what is the marriage bond? You know, for anybody asking, I know a lot of people have said that Jesus has never talked about this. Well, Jesus did talk about this. Like, Jesus never mentions homosexuality, but he did. And I believe it was in Matthew 19 where he talks about that's why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined together with his wife.
19:5.
Mm-hmm. And so that is Jesus touching on marriage, you know.
Yeah.
What is marriage? That is what marriage is in the eyes of God. And once we go around, I always like to follow it up with, once again, what Jeff just read, Hebrews 13:4. Everybody that don't meet those standards, this is what the outcome is if you decide to have any sexual relations.
The marriage bed being defiled. How do you defile the marriage bed?
You do it with someone that you're not married with.
It's called adultery.
Yes.
Fornication.
That is a sin of sexual immorality. If you are married to someone and you're having sex with somebody outside of, you know, that's not your spouse, that is a that's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And it ought not to be so.
Yeah, and it's hard. Nobody ever said this was easy.
No.
Nobody ever said this was easy. It's a struggle, you know.
And what about fornication? Anybody know what that is?
Yes.
That is sex outside of marriage.
That's when you're not married and you're sleeping with, having sex with other people. That's also an abomination in God's eyes. And these are sins.
Do you have the part, or is this a good part to talk about the statistics of why that is important, Jeremy? You had
now's
that
a good time.
Stuff to list out the...
Okay, the to set up Jeremy as he's preparing his notes. Is divorce a problem
in this country?
Or anywhere, in all countries. Well, is divorce a problem?
Right now it's over probably 50%, 60%.
Do you think people hold the marriage vows seriously, or they look at marriage kind of like it's a disposable razor? Like, yeah, we'll try it out for a year or two, see if it, you know, if it works.
And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those that get biblically divorced.
Right.
Where your spouse has cheated on you and everything. We're not talking about this. We're talking about, hey, we're just getting divorced because it just didn't work out, you know?
But even, like you said, we're not talking about biblically divorced. I mean, if my wife goes and commits adultery...
you have grounds.
These statistics still work.
They do.
Why do
they? I just want to let you know that, you know, that's the problem with the United States is I don't think most of them are based on adultery. A lot of them are just based on, oh, we were too young. We were too young to do it. We just weren't compatible.
I think part of it, too, is just in general, I think the morality level of society has degraded to such a point where the marriage bond is no longer held sacred. People go into the marriage, in many cases, they want to honor themselves and not honor each other. They don't take it seriously. They think it's just going to be, you know, a bed of roses. It's going to be a cakewalk. Marriage is very, very hard work. And we're going to make the point here that if you are in a Christian marriage where you and your spouse are both Christians and that you have not, you were both virgins when you came into this relationship, your chances of having a long-lasting and healthy marriage are very, very high.
Exponentially higher.
Just something you want to add?
Well, I was just going to say, to touch on your thing, we're not offended anymore by what we see on TV. We're easily offended by the things we shouldn't be today.
Do you think kids growing up today, by what they see on TV, they think it's normal that they should be divorced?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's just something
normal,
happens.
It's
like,
just a normal.
At 50%, I would say they're more likely one out of every two is divorced. So
it is, absolutely.
I would say 70 years ago, I wasn't alive then, but being divorced had a serious social stigma.
It did. Now it's normal. It's become normalized. All of this stuff's become normalized, and it's.
And I would like to add one thing to the divorce. It's not biblical, but I don't see it a problem. If you was to leave your spouse because you were getting beaten and abused, by all means, I would see no problem with that.
There's always
maybe, but even then, do we have scriptural authority to get a divorce based on that? Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that.
I would think that you wouldn't be forced to be set there, but I'm just going off my speculation.
But we got to be careful that we follow what is said in the Bible.
The only other place that talks about.
And I'm not condoning beating your spouse.
No. Or staying if you're unsafe or something, you got to protect. It's just.
Yeah.
But there is another part.
I just want to be clear that nowhere in the Bible does it say you're allowed to divorce your spouse because of being beaten.
The only other part that talks about divorce or leaving is if you marry somebody who becomes an unbeliever and leaves you because of that. Then it says that you are unbound by them as if it had never happened. But if you stay, if you marry an unbeliever,
what is that verse, Chris? I don't know if I read it that same way. If your spouse is an unbeliever, does that give you the right to remarry? I'm not sure about that. The verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you get toward verse 15 in 1 Corinthians 7. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such a case, the brother or sister is not bound.
And the first part of that, so it's not taken out of context, it talks about being with a believer and an unbeliever that talks about, you know, staying as a family. Because even then, they don't want to separate. Because what does it say that they are found holy through the marriage of the husband or the wife?
It says, starting in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is made holy through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy through her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, meaning the unbeliever leaves you, let it be so. In such case, the brother or sister is not bound. I don't know enough about this to know if that gives you scriptural authority to remarry if your wife is an unbeliever and leaves you. I don't know.
With the word bound, though.
But I don't know that I would.
You're no longer tied to them if you're no longer bound to them.
Does that mean?
I don't know. That's this something that would,
says, we can be divorced. I'm no longer bound to her. I don't have to stay married to her.
I would like to look that up.
We may have to dive into that one a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't see where that necessarily. It can go either way because I'm not bound to her. If she leaves me, that means I can divorce her. But does that say, okay, you can turn right around and go get married again?
That's a good question.
Be careful, and I don't want to advise people that is the case, because I don't know.
A lot of it for me would be like, how much money does the other woman make? joking.
But
playing with fire.
What are some of those statistics? Did you find the statistics on?
Yes, what are some dangers of sex before marriage? In 2016, study using data from the National Survey of Family Growth showed that women who don't have premarital sex have just a 5% chance of divorce in the first 5 years of marriage compared to those with two or more sexual partners before marriage. Their risk is at 20% to 25% in those first 5 years. Well, that's a big statistic, and I believe if we keep reading on, it's going to keep growing.
I believe this. I can't prove it because I've not done any studies on it, but the more sexual partners you've had prior to you getting married, let's say your spouse, she had several sexual partners. I think the more combined sexual partners you two have before getting married, the greater your chance of that marriage dissolving and ending in divorce.
Yes.
And what Jeremy, what that 5% was, if you're in a Christian marriage where both of you are God-fearing Christians and you go into that marriage as virgins, meaning you're the only sexual partner each one of you has ever had, it's very rare that you're going to get divorced. Chris?
And let's go ahead, Jeremy. You're about to say something with this. I was just going to bring up something else.
I'm just saying now, today's times, I would dare question. I would love to know the percentage of that. I would have to say that both parties in that marriage – would be extremely low percentage wise if they were virgins
today.
And that goes into dating too, just beforehand. That what it does is when you have sex before marriage, it breaks that bond between you two.
Mm-hmm.
If that bond is no longer there, it's with someone else, you know, then you're...
Well, you have a stat in there that said nearly 4 in 5 married people who were sexually inexperienced before their wedding report the highest level of emotional closeness in mm-hmm. their marriages, more than 20% higher than individuals. Now, the one thing I'll touch on, too, is like if people are hearing this and they're not inexperienced,
mm-hmm.
but you're trying to live a Christian life, there's still hope for you, too, because the higher, you know, I think it says that a family that prays together and goes to church together, the chance of divorce is 5%. So you can be inexperienced, but if you don't try to follow the Bible and Christ, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a successful relationship. You have to be a good Christian. There's always hope. The Bible is all about redemption.
It is redemption. And Lord knows I'm thankful for that because I need redemption on some things.
You and me both.
One thing that we were touching on is about if you're married and you're divorced, I think the only, we read this earlier, maybe off the air, but in Matthew, Jesus gives us an example where if you put away your wife, if you divorce your wife for any reason other than sexual immorality,
it's Matthew 19:9.
If somebody else marries her, they're committing adultery.
Matthew 19:9 says, as I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery.
So that's the other thing that's very serious about this, that we got to hold the marriage vows very, very sacred. And if your wife or your husband, if you're divorced and you remarry, you're more than likely committing adultery. So that's a couple of things that we deal with in society. We just talked about is adultery, fornication.
You see it every day.
Sex outside of marriage. What are some other acts of sexual immorality that society is trying to normalize for us?
Homosexuality right now.
Well, let's touch on that. You want to talk about the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened there?
We can talk about that.
That's on your outline.
And what a coincidence. So... people, first thing they think when homosexuality, they bring in Sodom and Gomorrah. And was there sexual immorality there? There was at least tempted sexual immorality there.
I think there's no question there was sexual immorality.
There was some, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, here's what we got. So how do we know what the sins are? Where does it say it? Well, it actually does tell us the sins of Sodom. If you go to Ezekiel 16:49-50. It's, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. So I kind of take this when we go into Sodom. I think it's a good teaching point to go to Romans 1. When Romans 1 goes in there and they start talking about how God, those who turn their back on God,
I've got that verse, Jeremy.
Please do.
Yeah, Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. The wrath of God is revealed against from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness.
Yeah, when you keep reading that also, it'll talk about how God would give them over to their lustful desires, mm-hmm. how men will lay with men, how women will lay with women unnaturally.
That's 26-27. Let me read that for you. For this reason, God gave them up to degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural. In the same way, also the men, giving up natural intercourse with women, were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error. Well, right there, God is condemning men being with men and women. They call it unnatural.
I brought up Sodom and Gomorrah was because a lot of people just assume this is what led into this. Is they had plenty of money, they had plenty of food, but they wasn't helping their neighbors.
I agree with you, Jeremy.
And that's what led into God turning. They turned their back on God, so he turned their back on
God. I think you mentioned it there. They turned their back on God. Mm-hmm. I certainly, myself, I believe that homosexuality and their debased natures were certainly a factor
in
them
sure.
being destroyed.
I'm sure, because it says
about. I don't want to minimize that. I think what Jeremy said in Ezekiel, Jeremy said, is what he read from Ezekiel chapter 16. Yeah, I believe that, and that's a great setup for that.
And that's what leads into that. Go ahead, Chris.
But I mean, and I think we touched on this before as well. This sounds like what you just read in Ezekiel sounds like what we're dealing with today in our own society.
It does.
There's a lot of things that are going on in society today that some of these ancient prophecies, it seems so accurate. But yeah, we have pride. That's certainly on display. Excessive food. We're very blessed.
Prosperous ease. Mm-hmm. There are the abominations that we deal with.
And just in a few years, it went from being homosexual people living in a homosexual lifestyle had jumped from 1% of the population to Lord knows what now.
20.
Is it 20?
It's 20% the last thing.
And so that's just been, 20 years?
Let me read another verse for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, sodomites, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. He calls that out. And again, the last time we did this podcast, I came down, I think my tone was too strong. I didn't have enough love and forgiveness. Homosexuality, transgender, all these things are unnatural, and God doesn't approve of them. And I've got friends who are homosexuals.
And we still love them.
Absolutely. And that's the thing I think I was missing on is it's a sin. It's something that God doesn't approve of. It disappoints him. And if it's not just us telling you that. We're reading this. We've given you the scriptures. We've read this straight from the Bible. We're not trying to condemn you. Our goal here is to, educate people. This is a sin in the eyes of God, and no matter how many TV shows and commercials that you watch that are showing that, does not make it right.
Well,
Chris?
I think the best way that you've said it, and it's been a great way, replace all of those things that you mentioned, whether it's homosexuality, fornication, any sexual immorality, and just say sin.
It's a sin.
It causes us to separate from
God.
It separates us from God. And the intent of this podcast, and the intent of what, as a Christian, we should do, not only self-reflecting, but is to make sure we have a strong relationship with God. Because sin separates you from it. No matter what sin it is,
Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to be close to God? Well, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's any of these other...
drunkenness, division, anger, jealousy.
All those things separate us from God. And as Christians, I think, we're all going to fall short. Romans 3:23, Chris, remember that one?
We all fall short.
We're all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
We're all going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also, as Christians, we try to do better. If we know something's wrong, we try to not do that. Jeremy?
And not to say that we don't have blood on our hands. Okay,
we've 100%, all sinned. Yeah,
we're absolutely. Not saying, but here's the thing. People say sometimes is, I don't believe in God. Why do you care? Right? That's what atheists say. I care because I want everybody to have the same, hopefully the same paradise I get at the end of time.
I want everybody to be there. To have the hope of eternal life.
And we
when all, this physical life is
yes,
over.
Yes, and we have cousins that are homosexual. We love them. We want the best for them. Do you think what they're doing
That's
is wrong?
Right. That's
100%.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we're going to be harsh to them. It's not going to mean.
But I think, yes, we're not going to be harsh to them. But we are doing people a disservice if we don't let them know that certain behaviors are sinful.
Yes.
We don't want to hide the truth from them.
And here's the thing. I'm not saying that this is what is called for an intervention or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, the people that have interventions for people are the people that care about that person the most. Yeah, and guess what? It's challenging. It's easier for me to not approach somebody about something.
It's a lot easier, Chris, to do nothing.
Exactly. But do I love them as much? No.
No.
Do I?
Wouldn't do it if you didn't care about them.
If you two sat me down for something, I knew.
And we're going
you
to cared. After the podcast.
Yeah, after. I got sat down before and after. I know you care about me because you guys don't want to do that. But guess what? You also don't want to see me separated from God.
And anything we do, we should do it in a spirit of meekness and humility.
Correct.
Again, coming at you with a spirit of love and forgiveness. We all fall short. We all make mistakes.
And I'll say this. Anybody out there that's homosexual, listen. If you want to come to my church, please come.
Absolutely.
Please come. We would love to have you in the hopes that it would open your eyes to seeing what you are doing is wrong. And we wouldn't be harsh. We'd be very loving. And well, I would accept now.
If you come into the church, we're not going to sit there and point out. We had to spend all of our time pointing out each other's sins,
It'd be on me all day. But, and that's the thing, though. But I think homosexuals should be able to come to church.
They should.
I don't think they should have leadership roles in the church while they're in that lifestyle.
No sinner should.
No, I agree with that. That's a good point. And I'm going to read a verse for you real quick. It's Matthew 10:37. I think this gives a good point. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves the son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Also, that was Jesus. That was the red letter.
That's right.
So what is this telling us right here? It's telling us you should put Jesus first. Not just on your father and mother or your husband or wife or your children. Jesus died for you. He gave you more than anybody can give you. But that also includes your sins.
Mm-hmm.
That means, that's what it should say here too, is even more than your sins. That means, because there are several times I've talked to people and that were Christians. And they would cuss. And I would say, hey, you think you really should cuss? They'd be like, oh, it's just words. But what you're really saying is, I like saying these words more than I love Jesus.
Uh-huh. It's true. And that's a reflection. You're right. That's a reflection of every sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You choose. You're choosing them over. It's just, and we all 100%. Do it. There's always something that some sin I choose over, and I try to be better about it.
Well, guys, that's a good talk. I just want to remind all our listeners out there, if you're not a Christian, today would be a good day to become one.
How would you do that?
Well, if you've heard the word of God and you believe it, what you would do is repent of those sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized, washing away your sins, rising up a new person in Christ. If you haven't done that, we would encourage you to do that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Jeremy, your
final
tagline? Yeah.
My final thoughts on it is that just come to Jesus. He'll change you.
I think there's a song that's like that.
I think so.
He will change you for the better. And you might
Your sin is.
Yes. If you are an alcoholic or if you're a drug addict or if you're homosexual, come to Christ. People, the church is not going to put you off. Okay.
Come to Jesus. Chris?
No, I'll say the exact same thing. You said it really well. It's, we all have sin. And it's not necessarily supposed to be easy for us to get past what tempts us. It's a struggle. If it was easy to bypass all temptations, I mean, you know,
well,
what
we
I mean?
Have you the avenue. We have the avenue of forgiveness, Chris, and we can lay it on Jesus' feet.
We understand it's a struggle, but if you put it at Jesus' feet, He will help you through it.
Well said. Jeremy, where can listeners, the different avenues they can hear
Spotify,
this?
Apple Pod, iHeartRadio, YouTube, where else? Facebook.
Can you keep up with
it? If you haven't liked us on Facebook or follow us, please follow us. If you haven't liked, give us a rating on Spotify, please do, or YouTube, or any of those named. I appreciate every listener we get.
Absolutely.
Wherever in the world you're at, if from here in White Bluff, Tennessee to Belgium, we appreciate everybody.
From Tucson to Tucumcari.
Yeah.
From Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Chris?
Good.
How about a prayer?
Prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you so much for blessing us with being able to do this podcast today, Lord. Hope that we've done it in a way that honors and glorifies your name, Lord. We want to thank everybody out there for listening, Lord, and please bless them, Lord, and hope that our podcast went out and helped their lives and maybe planted a seed or helped strengthen someone's faith, Lord, that need to hear it. We thank you so much for this blessing. We just thank you so much, Lord. That's really all I can say. I thank you so much for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.